Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Some of the news. Make it rain. News update.
It's Chris Bavona with the Fantasy Sports News Update. We did talk earlier about how the New York football world got turned upside down. But let's go over to the New York basketball world for a second. Yesterday, Knicks owner, Madison Square Garden owner, James Dolan went on the Michael Kay show on ESPN 98.7 to gloat about the fact that he banned a fan who said he should sell the Knicks. However, he actually called this an ambush, and let's actually hear a little bit from the Knicks owner talking on Michael Kay yesterday.
This gentleman and his friends, right, planned to do this, right? just before the game, they cleared their profiles out. Right. We have video, which I think we've supplied to you, which shows them moving from one side of the arena to the other and pointing at me and
the way you were walking out.
Where I was walking, right, and saying, to set this ambush up, and they did, and and then as soon as they were done with it, it was immediately sold to TMZ.
So there you go, guys. The whole thing is that it wasn't necessarily that he was being criticized for his ownership of the Knicks, but that these guys were just trying to sell this to TMZ. I can believe the fact that he says this, but I also believe the fact that Dolan has an ego big enough to think that he's just good enough for TMZ.
It's also a lie. It's not true, okay? Because I saw the video on TMZ. First of all, the two guys that got thrown out and have now been banned, okay, he's claiming that this was all an elaborate plan. Yeah, the problem is they didn't sell the cell phone video to TMZ, and I know this because the two guys that got banned were standing next to each other. The filming of the video came from over the other guy's shoulder. It would have been absolutely impossible for these two guys to be able to film this. So it's nice. It's a nice story, James Dolan, but you're full of crap because these guys didn't plan anything to go to TMZ. The video they have was sold to them by somebody else.
Listen, he also tried to reshape the narrative after the Charles Oakley thing, you know, a year ago. So this is what Dolan does, but he needs a little bit of a thicker skin if he wants fans to. That's the only reason fans are paying to go to the Garden anyway, to heckle. So he might as well let him in.
Well, listen, I'm not paying for any reason to go to the Garden other than to go see Elton John.
Let's and go. Not for nothing, but Michael Kay, I mean, kiss my ass, dude. Could you give any more of a fluff piece? And you want to? I mean, unbelievable, a softball wuss ass interview like that. Like, you get him on the show and instead of holding his feet to the fire, you sit there and give him this opportunity to sit there and lay out
softballs.
Some sort of defense. I mean, come on, dude, give me a break.
That had to be the reason he was on there in the first place. They knew he was going to get softballs. They knew it was a kind of a friendly place. It's like a Republican going on to Fox News or a Democrat going on to MSNBC.
Sucked.
Well, guys, there was another NBA fan that was permanently banned from an arena. The Utah Jazz permanently banned the fan who had a heated exchange with Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook on Monday night, saying in a statement that there is no place in our game for personal attacks or disrespect. The NBA, meanwhile, fined Westbrook $25,000, for directing profanity and threatening language to a fan. There's plenty of stuff talking about here, but I want to go over what Donovan Mitchell said in a statement himself about Salt Lake City. He said in a statement, "I am personally hurt by the incident at the game on March 11th. As a black man living in the community I love," of course talking about Salt Lake City, "and playing on a team that gives me the opportunity to live out my dreams, this incident hits close to me. Racism and hate speech hurts all, and this is not the first time something like this happened in our arena. The Utah that I have come to love is welcoming and inclusive, and last night's incident is not indicative of our fan base. We don't want to create a negative reputation for athletes who potentially want to come to Utah." I know that this is day and age the NBA player that's the end of the quote. But I know in this day and age the NBA players have a lot of leverage in where they want to play. But I have to ask you guys, who the hell wants to play in Salt Lake City of all places?
It's actually beautiful.
That's why
man.
The Utah Jazz have to get ahead of it.
No, it's actually a beautiful place to live. Don't be fooled by, you know, a few morons there that confuse. That city is absolutely gorgeous. It's got a lot going on. It's not a bad place to be stuck. That's like saying San Diego. Like, who would want to go to San Diego, Manny Machado? Yeah, a lot of people would. It's actually a very, very beautiful city that offers a lot. Unfortunately, you know, you got a bunch of people who are married to 38 people. It's, you know, it does, like any area, has its downside.
Well, that's
that's why the Utah Jazz had to get in front of this from a PR standpoint, because they don't want it to not be a destination for players.
All right, guys. Well, that's really –
I'd go.
I know it's a great skiing area, so I do have to check it out one day in my life. But that's the news from me. I'm Chris Pavona. I did the right thing, Joe. I burned my Odell Beckham sweater.
Thank you. About time.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar, bills, y'all.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome in. Here we are on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez, as we help you make it rain as five more conference tournaments get ready to take off here today in college hoops. A lot of opportunities for you to do that. Also, Tom Glavine going to join us here in just about 15 minutes. Want to get his thoughts on the upcoming season and see if he sees any need for a pitch clock. But it's always good. If he's not on the golf course, I'm shocked he's calling, because this dude is not a guy. He's a scratch golfer. It's not a guy that I would ever challenge him or Schmaltz on the golf course. These dudes can flat out play, but it'll be nice to be able to talk to him. But the big story here this morning, of course, if you're cleaning this sleep out of your eyes going, what the hell just happened? If you have an Odell Beckham Jr. Giant jersey, yeah, you may want to see if you can't trade that in for a Cleveland Browns jersey. Odell Beckham Jr. on his way to Cleveland. Le'Veon Bell is on his way to New York as well. You lose a star, you gain a star. The Jets, of course, were happy, more than happy, to give Le'Veon Bell $35 million guaranteed, $61 million over possibility over 4 years. Now, one of the arguments that I keep seeing over and over and over and over in social media is you can't give a guy 27, father time, he hasn't played in a year. Listen, for $35 million guaranteed to have something, to have somebody with the capability of a Le'Veon Bell, hell, even if you get 2 years out of him, okay, and I don't think anybody will deny the fact that you're going to get at least two really high-end years out of Le'Veon Bell, you should. It's worth every dime that you pay him right now because of Sam Darnold and the rookie quarterback, and you got to try and put as many weapons as possible. Would I rather have Le'Veon Bell or Tevin Coleman? Well, Coleman would be cheaper, you know, and a little bit younger, but are we going to say now, Dane, that, you know, Le'Veon Bell, we're sticking a fork in him before he plays one down already?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, I thought the money could have been better spent elsewhere in the timing of how they were building up this team. But now that Le'Veon Bell is a Jet, you got to be excited about the potential. Yeah, the Jets are certainly making moves. Joe, before we get into college basketball on the other side of the break, we got to update the poll. And some people are saying some interesting things on the chat room as well. So maybe we could do that on the other side of the break after Make It Rain comes back. We got to pay these bills.
Yep, we got a little soccer update for you, too, with Ronaldo. Ooh. Yep, we'll give you all of that. Coming up here, final hour, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's make it rain.
Improve visibility and save $8 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude Wiper Blades. Plus, earn double points during Old Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ensure clear vision in any weather and save $8 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude Wiper Blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Andro 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Andro 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials walk for a decade. I was like, oh, I'm just going to try it. My pants are like falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. andro400.com.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
The Morning After.
We've got to Chelsea Handler.
Does this country need more weed, not less?
Everyone needs to be smoking weed and not to be, like, screwed up. To be, like, functioning and to be, A, tolerant of all the annoying people you run into all day, and B, to get actually stuff done. Cannabis is such a help to so many people who have anxiety. I used to take Xanax, like, 3 times a week. I haven't taken a Xanax in, like, 3-6 months because of cannabis.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Tom Glavine, Hall of Fame pitcher, Atlanta Braves pitcher, be joining us here in just about 15 minutes. Welcome in, Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Big news here this morning we'll get to in the NFL. Kind of give you a quick rundown, but we do have a poll up here. Dane, do we not hear today? What's the latest, and what are those lunatics in the chat room doing?
Yeah, so I think this is actually interesting, Joe. We put out there this idea of which is the bigger New York football story right now, Odell Beckham leaving New York or Le'Veon Bell coming to New York. When I put this out, Joe, I thought it was going to be about 50-50. Would you think it'd be about 50-50 in this, or do you think it would be skewed?
Depends,
I don't know if you've seen it.
Depends if they're a Giant or a Jet fan, I think. Yeah, I mean, if it was somebody in Nebraska, I'd probably think it would be 50-50.
All right, well, check this out. Odell leaving New York, 87% of the vote. That's a little bit more than I thought it would be. I think that was skewed, but 87% say Odell leaving because, you know, people like to be able to be angry about something. You know what I mean? And so this way the haters are going to hate. I saw we put up the hater brackets. We'll get back to those tomorrow when we continue to find out who can make our Elite Eight of Hate. The one thing I wanted to say, big shout out to everybody in the chat room, as always, you know, whether it's in the poll, at FNTSY Radio, at Spittin' Speeds, at Joe Ranieri, or, you know, kind of joining us in the chat room on YouTube or any of the other streaming platforms. I want to give a shout out real quick. Andrew G makes an interesting point, Joe, that I didn't know. Okay, remember, we talk about the motivation for players all the time. Here's a little nugget I did not know that I think could be underestimated as really part of why something just happened. Did you know, Joe, that Frank Gore Jr. Plays for the University of Buffalo college football team up there in Buffalo? I didn't
really
know that. His son, his son's playing for University of Buffalo, apparently. This is coming from Andrew G. in our chat room, right? So, I mean, that could be part of the motivating factor also for a guy like Frank Gore. He's in his mid-30s. His kid is playing college ball right up there. Maybe that has something to do with it. Remember, we can never truly understand the motivations of players, whether it's money, whether it's winning, whether it's quality of life, average annual value, total contract value, or family reasons even.
Yeah, it's especially at that part of someone's career. I mean, Frank Gore's got nothing left to prove, but it's convenient. He still feels he's got a little left in the tank. And listen, say what you want about the guy. He's 30-some-odd years old. I get it. But again, you've got a second-year quarterback up in Buffalo. And the thing, Frank Gore is a playmaker. You get inside that 10-yard line, you get inside that red zone. Frank Gore is an asset. He's not going to hurt your team. He's not going to be a three-down back. But I'll be damned if I get it into the 5-yard line, 4-yard line. You don't think Frank Gore comes into play. You haven't been paying attention his entire career. And that's what they need more than anything else in Buffalo is playmakers. Cole Beasley in the slot is a playmaker. But the best moves they made is they went out and got yourself a center, a rock-solid center, and you went out and got yourself a guard. And you got all of a sudden two anchors on an offensive line to be able to protect that kid. And, oh, yeah, John Brown running on the outside. Is anybody faster than John Brown? Because I can tell you right now, nobody's got an 80-yard missile arm like Josh Allen does in Buffalo. So I think Buffalo quietly, not spending the big bucks, but getting value. And we talk about this all the time on the show, right? Getting value for what they are spending. And I think they've gotten a lot of value in Buffalo, even with a 100-year-old Frank Gore. So kudos to them. Listen, anybody but Brady, you know, we're Jet fans, we're diehard Jet fans, and we're hoping to do anything and everything, especially in a year that the Miami Dolphins are committed to tanking. So the Miami Dolphins aren't going to try. That means the Jets and Buffalo have a legitimate shot at taking down the New England Patriots. Whether or not they'll do it, we don't know. But they do have a chance now. They are much better than the four wins for the Jets. We're a lot closer to 8 wins than we are to 4 wins this year, I think, with Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. And we still have a draft, the number 3 pick coming up. So some interesting stuff. But I will say this, and Dane and I were talking about this earlier. Giant fans, you got to slow your roll, man, okay? You got to look at the big picture. Your problem isn't Odell Beckham Jr. not being on the team anymore. Your problem is you don't have an heir apparent to Eli Manning. Your future of your organization isn't in a diva wide receiver who's 5'10", all right, who's 5'9". That's not what your future is. Your future is who's going to be the signal caller. And right now, Dave Gettleman, by getting the number 17, you now have 12 draft picks this year to get, number one. Number two, you got 3 in the top 37. And, oh, yeah, if you want to go up and get Kyler Murray, if you think Kyler Murray is going to go to Arizona, then you can go and trade a number 2, okay, a second-round pick. You can go get Josh Rosen from them. And, oh, yeah, if you think anybody's going to move to try and get Dwayne Haskins, if that's who you want, you now have the draft assets to be able to do what the hell you want to do. The team that owns this draft right now, that is in the best seat of the house, is Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants. So look at big picture here. Does your team suffer because he's not on it in the short term? Yes, the very short term. But your problem is, who in the hell is replacing Eli Manning? And, oh, yeah, by the way, you now have enough assets in place to be able to go get your quarterback either this year or next year. And I have a feeling Dwayne Haskins is going to make up for a lot of the Odell Beckham Jr. shirts and jerseys that are out there. I have a feeling we're going to start to see either Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, or Dwayne Haskins jerseys rather quickly here, Dane.
Yep, I said it last hour. You in the NFL, you either have a quarterback or you do not. Last year, the Jets thought they got their quarterback in Sam Darnold, so now the only priority is to set him up to be successful, both from getting offensive linemen, weapons. Oh, and by the way, a head coach to potentially cultivate that talent. In Buffalo, Josh Allen, the same thing. Offensive linemen and weapons on the outside, right? A stable running back as well. Oh, by the way, in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, weapons and offensive line. Oh, and they retain Freddie Kitchens as the head coach, right? Just because he had good chemistry with Baker. It is all about trying to equip and set up your young quarterback to be on the ascent, to be ready to go in the AFC when guys like Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Big Ben Roethlisberger eventually move on in the next 3 years. The only things that I would dispute in what you just said, Joe, is I think the Raiders may have a little bit more control of the draft than the Giants, given their four picks in the top 35. And the only one thing I wouldn't like, I agree with you, getting rid of Odell in this time and space because of the way you want to run your offense is fine. What I don't like about what the Giants are doing, Joe, they have something like $35 million in dead cap space, including $21 million from Odell, Olivier Vernon, you know, and other guys. So that is still something of a kind of anchor around the leg of this team as they try to go ahead and make moves and restock. But you're right. You either have the quarterback or you don't. The Giants realize that their cycle is coming up. They need to go get that quarterback, whether it is Haskins, Murray, a guy like Rosen, or sucking again next year for the quarterback market.
But crying over the cap hit you're going to take is asinine. That's like saying I bought a boat for $50,000, and then as soon as I bought it, it's now only worth $35,000. Like, I'm stuck on the. Of course, you're stuck on the hook. You had an elite wide receiver that you had to pay. You did, but it didn't work out. So that's the cost of doing business. If you could do it all over again, we'd all make a lot of changes. But crying over the fact you got $21 million in dead money, it is what it is. Do not forget, Giant fans. He was gone last year. They had a deal in place to trade him last year, and Shermer's the one who went in there and begged and pleaded with the front office to go, give me a year with him. Let me try and work something out here. So the fact that it didn't work out, so be it. That's the NFL. That's business. That's life, all right? The fact that you got $21 million in dead cap money, so be it, guys. But you know what's worth that $21 million? Giving yourself a chance to go get your future quarterback and getting a malcontent out of that locker room who, quite honestly, would have cost you guys a hell of a lot more than $21 million had he had stayed and been miserable. So sometimes a fresh start is good for everybody. That's what we had here. But don't think, Giant fans, that Dave Gettleman woke up yesterday and the Mara family woke up and was like, you know what would be great? Let's just get rid of Odell and trade him to Cleveland here. I think maybe that they have been actively doing this now for over a year. The fact that they finally decided to pull the trigger, I think, has a lot more to do with the fact of what they are planning on doing in this year's draft, which is go and get your damn quarterback, please. All right, Tom Glavine coming up here. He's going to join us, talk a little Major League Baseball, see how his golf game is going. Plus, we'll make it lane or make it rain free plays of the day. It's coming up here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's college basketball season, and the Monmouth Park Sportsbook by William Hill is your best bet to watch and wager on all the games leading up to the big tournament. Watch every minute of action on our 75-foot HD video wall. Wager on props, parlays, over-unders, and much more. Go to monmouthpark.com for hours and information. Excludes New Jersey college teams and college events taking place in New Jersey. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
This place is great. Where are we?
We're at Quintas.
At Quintas?
Guntitas.
Oh, you mean meat farms?
It's Genta's Meat Farm Supermarket. Genta's Meat Farms has 9 locations across Long Island, bringing you local farm fresh produce, butcher shop quality meat with custom cuts, and bakery fresh goods all at the best prices. Genta's Meat Farms. You might not know how to say it, but you know where we are.
Genta's!
It's not just fresh, it's Meat Farms fresh.
College basketball has reached the climax of the 2019 season, and the Fantasy Sports Network has you covered for all the news and betting information for the conference tournaments leading up to the big dance. Get the latest wagering and prop bet advice every day from FNTSY's top experts and analysts as they prepare you with the best advice in bracketology. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio app in iTunes and Google Play and watch select programming in the FNTSY YouTube channel. The Fantasy Sports Network, your home for winning big in the month of madness.
So we are joined by baseball royalty right now, Hall of Fame pitcher, Atlanta Brave pitcher. He's an icon. It's Tom Glavine joining us here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Tom, thanks for taking some time, man, to join us here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. You know, I got to ask a question. I've been dying to ask you this, and I'm wondering because I got, you know, we bet here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What a shock. We're a bunch of degenerate gamblers. But between yeah. Maddux, you and Schmaltz, who's got the better golf game?
Schmaltzy. He's a little bit better at it, as, you know, evidenced by playing some rounds on the senior tour. So he's a little bit better than us. As hard as it is for
who's
me to
made
that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's made the most money on the golf course between you three?
I would say the money is fairly even. I mean, John's pretty good about, you know, giving appropriate strokes for handicap kind of thing. So
I would say over the years, it was probably pretty even, monetarily speaking.
I love that. All right, Tom Glavine joining us. Let's talk a little bit Major League Baseball in 2019. Tom, we keep hearing about how the pitchers are too slow. Like, we got to speed up the game. We've got to, you know, pace of play. Let's hurry up and put a pitch clock. How would you think you would have fared with a pitch clock had you had to play with one?
Honestly, I don't think it would have been a problem. I think I did it anyway. You know, I think our philosophy for the most part was, you know, get the ball, get back on the mound, and make a pitch. You know, and for me personally, I don't see a really big deal as it relates to the pitch clock, excuse me, with nobody on base. You know, with guys on base, it's a little bit different because there's a lot going on. And I think where a lot of guys get in trouble when they get in trouble is the game starts to speed up on them. And I think that the more you're able to slow the game down and kind of think about what you're doing, the better off you are. But that's hard to do if you have a pitch count. So I would have no problem with it. I agree. I mean, I don't see any reason why guys don't make a pitch and get back on the mound and make your next one. I don't see why you need more than 20 seconds to throw another one.
Hey, Tom, Dane Martinez here. What I wanted to ask you, you know, because obviously, you know, I want to get your reaction to the pitch clock. That's one thing. But another thing that has changed in the last few years in baseball is kind of the emphasis on the bullpen. You know what I mean? The specialization of the bullpen. You got flamethrowers coming out now, and teams are trying to build their 7, 8, 9. You know, didn't the best starters in your generation want to go 9? When you grabbed the ball, didn't you think it was kind of a rest day for the bullpen? That doesn't really happen anymore. How does that change maybe the mentality of a pitcher, you know, who thinks that they own this game now when the bullpens are just so important and, you know, people are just pulling you after 100 pitches? Like, didn't you, Maddux, Smoltzy, didn't you want to just own that game? And is there any shift from the starting pitcher's mindset knowing that the bullpen is really such a focus these days?
Yeah, no, I think there's a definite shift, but I don't know that I lay the blame on them. You know, I know, look, when you look from generation to generation, you know, I think my generation as compared to today's generation, yeah, we went deeper into the ball games, we did all that. But if you took my generation and asked the generation before me, they would say, well, those guys don't pitch enough, they don't finish games enough, they don't complete games anymore, you know, so there's always a little bit of a generational shift, and certainly the generation before me, you know, that generation, they did everything they could to stay out of their bullpen. You know, they didn't have talent in their bullpen. Their starting pitchers were their best pitchers, and they went to the bullpen only out of necessity, not not because it gave them a better chance to win. My generation saw kind of more of the closer and then the setup guy. So the mindset became, hey, we can get our starter through 7 or 8 at a minimum, get handed over to the setup guy who then hands it over to the closer, you know, we're in great shape. So that's kind of what we were brought up on. And, you know, for me, yeah, you wanted to finish as many games as you could, but at a minimum, you know, you were trying to stay out of those middle relief guys and get it to the back end of the bullpen as best you could. I think in today's game, these guys are being told so much and being conditioned so much that they can't flip a lineup for the third time. God forbid they're trying to flip a lineup for the fourth time. So that's kind of their mentality is, you know, it's almost like they're being brainwashed to believe they're only good enough to flip a lineup 2 times, get through 5 innings, and then they got to turn it over to the guys in the bullpen that are really good, you know, and that's such a difference from what it was when I played. Now, having said it, and I said it years ago, you know, when I would do some Braves games and I would look at their team and say, I would say, look, if I'm Fresh Gonzalez at the time, and my pitcher gets through 6 innings, my starting guy, and I've got Eric O'Flaherty, Johnny Venters, and Craig Kimbrell coming in 1, 2, 3. You'd be hard pressed not to play those cards. But I think now it's almost become, when you get in those situations now, you have to do that. There's almost very little feel in terms of, well, gee, my starting pitcher's pitching well today. Let's see if we can get 1 more inning out of him. Let's see if we can get 2 more innings out of him. It's almost became, nope, the numbers say he can't flip the lineup for the third time, and this is the guy that has to pitch in the 6th inning, and to me it's become too much of that.
Tom Glavine joining us here on Make It Rain, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, Tom, it's interesting. We're just a couple of weeks away opening day, and we have a Cy Young Award winner still not on a team, Dallas Keuchel, and I heard the argument made the other day that they were comparing Dallas to you, saying that, you know, he is the Tom Glavine and Andy Pettit of this generation, but the numbers say that he doesn't throw hard enough, that, you know, it's all about velocity in today's Major League Baseball. Do you, A, think that's a fair narrative right now? And boy, oh boy, what would it have been like if they held that against, you know, if they held that against you back in the day? Like, if you didn't throw 98, all of a sudden you weren't worth the money?
Well, I can tell you the latter part of the equation. You know, I signed a 4-year deal with the Mets on the back end of my career, I think when I was 33 or 35 years old. In today's game, I would have never gotten that. And it would have been exactly that argument. Oh, his velocity's down, or his numbers say this. And again, it's almost like we're paying so much attention to what the numbers are saying, and we're not paying any attention to what our eyes are telling us, right? I mean, so Dallas Keuchel doesn't throw hard. The guy's won a Cy Young Award. He goes out there and he still pitches well. He still is successful. You mean to tell me if you get a guy like that in a rotation and in the middle of maybe of a bunch of guys, young guys who throw hard, that there's a guy that, A, you can't count on to go out there and give you some innings when you need them, and B, he can't be a good influence on some of these young guys on how to go out there and pitch? And you know, it's like the analytics of the game, the numbers of the game, have almost gotten to the point where it's the end all be all for why guys are signed or aren't signed, you know. And it's like I said, I remember talking to Bob Stotts years ago before both of us retired, and you know, the analytics are starting to come into the game a little bit. And I remember him telling me, you know, when the day comes and I can't look out there on the field and know who the good players are, that it's time for me to walk away from the game. And it's almost become that. You know, it's almost the numbers are everything, and there's no thought process or nothing weighing what's in a guy's heart, how he competes. Maybe he's an exception to the rule. It's like all that stuff's gone away. And it's funny because I had this conversation the other day with somebody. It's like, okay, so Dallas Keuchel doesn't throw hard enough. So would you rather have Dallas Keuchel on your team and go out there and give you 6 or 7 innings most of the time he goes out there and pitch, knowing that maybe he doesn't fit the bill in terms of velocity? Or would you rather have the rest of these guys who throw 95 miles an hour and go out there and maybe give you 5 innings? You know, it's like, so Dallas Keuchel doesn't strike enough guys out. Well, I thought strikeouts didn't matter anymore. That's what we talk about with hitters, right? Who cares if a hitter strikes out 150 times a year, an out's an out? Well, is a ground ball less of an out than a strikeout? I mean, that's the part that makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yep.
Yeah, we're in this three true outcome kind of world, right? High velo and big data, and that's about it. Listen, I want to ask you about the Braves, Tom. You know, the NL East is going to beat each other up this year. All the moves the Mets are making, obviously the Phillies as well. As it relates to the Braves, you know, there's Albies, Acuna. They are great. What I want to ask you is, do you think they can keep up in the starting pitching realm? You know, you got DeGrom and Syndergaard. You got Arrieta and Nola. You got Scherzer and Strasburg. They go and get Corbin. Is Folty an ace? Is Teheran going to turn it around, especially at home? Like, can the Braves compete from the starting pitching aspect this season?
I don't know. I think that's the question mark, right? I mean, I think when they went into the offseason, their biggest needs probably were getting a bat, which they did in Josh Donaldson. And then, look, that's a little bit of a risk, but for 1 year, so what? You know, I think if Josh is able to stay healthy, I think he's going to be a big influence on that lineup, and he's going to put up good numbers in SunTrust Park. As far as the rotation is concerned, yeah, you know, I think everybody would tell you, oh, they need an ace, but in reality, how many of those guys are out there? You know, and I know they were hot and heavy on Kluber for a while, but then it gets down to, okay, well, what are they asking for? Are you willing to give up so many of your prospects? You know, that kind of thing. So it's a little bit more complicated than just, hey, go get this guy or go get that guy. But having said that, you know, they've got guys to me in that rotation, and Fulton Davis and certainly Sean Duca, two young guys that have number one type stuff. Are they going to be able to put it all together and become a true number one, say like a Kluber or a Justin Verlander type guys who not only throw hard but can spot it and change speeds and pitch seven or eight innings consistently? I don't know. I think that's, you know, the big thing is for both of those guys is whether or not they're able to consistently be in the strike zone night in and night out. When they are, they're really good. When they're not, they struggle a little bit. So the potential is there. Whether or not it happens, I don't know. But I would say that if you look at that division right now, you know, I think everybody in that division on paper at least has a stronger number one and number two than the Braves do. But that doesn't mean that's going to go out and work out that way.
Paper. Unfortunately, the season's not played on paper. He is Tom Glavin, Hall of Fame pitcher, Atlanta Braves. I can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to talk to us. I hope we can do this again during the season. Can't believe time is flying by here. But enjoy your week. Enjoy the start of the season. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again, Tom.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Tom Glavin, Hall of Famer, Atlanta Braves. More coming up next, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Your vehicle is riding rough, it may be time for new shocks or struts. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy a combination of two or four select Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts and get up to an $80 Visa gift card by mail. Improve your ride with Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supplies. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text YOUTH to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by testosterone, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text YOUTH to 321321. That's YOUTH to 321321.
I had great results. I lost 70 pounds. I weighed 265 and went down to 195. My doctor told me, if it works for you, then do it. A lot of people say to me, how did you lose the weight? I said, I take Andro 400 every day. I'm going to take it forever.
That was Walt talking about Andro 400. Now listen to what Bob has to say.
When you listen to your radio commercials, you say that's not possible, but since I've experienced it, you're am 76, and I've had a belly for way too long. My whole body is shrinking. My energy level has gone up, and the only thing difference is Andro 400. It's great stuff. I tried other products, and nothing happened.
Guys, if you'd like to lose stubborn belly fat, gain energy, and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Can't get enough fantasy football? Roto Experts has launched their NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, which includes the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com. with the promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, only at RotoExperts.com.
It is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're making it rain for you here on a Wednesday. Man, oh man, great interview from Tom Glavine. That's a legend there, Hall of Famer Tom Glavine. Good stuff. Sounded like he was not necessarily a big fan of the way the game has morphed into nothing but being played on paper from a number standpoint and bullpens and some great stuff there. Nobody did it better than him. 305 career wins, Tom Glavine. He is Dane Martinez. I am Joe Ranieri. We want to throw a couple of plays your way here as the conference championships start today for the big conferences. Of course, the SEC, ACC had a few games they played yesterday. They're starting to roll around. Big 10, Big 12, all in action here today. You got about six or seven games in the NBA. And I got to tell you, Dan, as I'm looking at this, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, Gonzaga last night, conference championship, gets smoked by St. Mary's, a team that they have played. You know, they've played a number of times, and it's every year in the Western Conference it comes down to those guys. But let us not count out the Zag. Let us not pretend here that this somehow takes them from being a number one seed in a tournament to being a number two or three or four. I do definitely think that they are deserving of a number one seed for the year that they have had. But I will say this. We told you yesterday, two things to keep in mind today moving forward. Conference finals, the under, okay? If you get an under somewhere, if you get a number that's somewhere 138, 139, 140 or greater, in all likelihood, the under over the last 10 years has been extremely profitable to bettors. Case in point, you just had a Gonzaga team play Pepperdine, scored 179 points the night before, right? They play last night in the conference final. That's their fourth game in as many days. Legs are a little tired. And all of a sudden, 60-47. They only scored 47 points last night in that game. So keep an eye when we finally get to the conference finals here over the next couple of days. Keep an eye on those teams. Keep an eye on the number because profitability comes in the under in the conference finals. And we also mentioned yesterday, Dane, about how you guys need to take a look first day, right? What we say, first game of the tournament, right? First day of the brackets right. That you've got going on here in the conference championship, these opening games. If you are looking at anybody with an underdog getting seven or more points, we told you that over 62% of the time over the last 10 years, the underdogs have cashed. Not necessarily won, but covered. So look along the lines. And as I look across some of these games here today, one of the games that sticks out to me right away, Washington State, Oregon. Washington State getting 10.5 points right now. Keep an eye on that game. What did we say, right? You get these really good teams, you know, that have a better record going up against teams that don't have a great record. And the public comes in and just takes all of the blue bloods and the favorites, leaving some value in the first game of the tournament here in these conference tournaments, like a Washington State. Oregon may win, but what is going to happen in the second half if Oregon is upset? Let's say Oregon's up by 10 or 11 at half, right? What do you think Oregon's going to do in the second half of this game, Dave?
Park the bus. park the bus sit some of their guys so they could be fresh because they're playing five games in 5 days. The higher seed, they have designs on winning the conference tournament, right? So when they're up by 15 with 7 minutes left to go, their number one and two scorers are going to be on the bench. That's what's going to happen. Joe, what I would want to ask you is, in the ACC tournament, we have the confluence of both of these trends. Okay, when you talk about like the big boys versus make some of these big underdogs, you know, and getting the underdog. But because the ACC tournament is so big, I'm looking at a team like, you know, my guy Syracuse. They are facing teams who played yesterday. There were three games in the ACC tournament yesterday, right?
That's
correct. So like Notre Dame, Miami Hurricanes, they won yesterday. Yep. So for them, it is the second game in 2 days. So do you go with the tired leg narrative that you were saying, which I think is a good take, or do you go with this might be an artificial spread and a team that's higher seed may have designs on winning 4 games in 4 days and resting some of their players? So for a game like, you know, Miami or Notre Dame, who are advancing to the second round of their monster 15-team conference tournament, which trend or angle do you think rules the day? Or does it not matter because it's not really the 1-2-3 seeds? They have even more buys in the ACC tournament. They get the double buy.
Well, don't forget, when we're talking about underdogs having value in the first round, okay, and this is still really the first round here, we're talking that your underdog is anywhere from getting 7 to getting 19.5. So if they played yesterday like Miami, I think that spread in this game is only 1.5 or 2. So it doesn't fit into that system. We're talking about the big underdogs here. We're talking about, the Washington States getting 10.5. We're talking about our favorite team, the San Jose States, I believe are playing Air Force, and they are getting, let me double check, they are getting 11. It's those anywhere between 7 and, let's say, 20. Those types of underdogs, first round, which that's what we have here over the next couple of days, that first round of the tournament, there's a very, very good chance that the better team will probably get out, have a lead at halftime, and then, like you said, park their asses
on the
bench because the coaches know, you know what? This isn't our national championship here. Our goal is to have some longevity because 4 games in 4 days, it's a haul. So just when you're looking at the lines here today, when you see a like Notre Dame, for instance, is taking on Louisville, it's
Louisville.
It opened up at 7.5, but they kind of taken. I don't know what's going on there. They took it off. Notre Dame's a little bit banged up, but I would definitely circle that.
Batek laying 8.5 against that Miami narrative that you just said. You know, they got the Hurricane in their second game in 2 days. Yep. Batek, number 16 in the country. Maybe they have designs on showing up in the ACC tournament to maybe get up to, you know, like the 3 line in March Madness.
Yep.
But they're laying 8.5.
There you go. That's definitely one I would circle and look at, not from the standpoint of that Batek is just they're going to blow out Miami. They could very well blow out Miami. They have played each other, but it's still considered a first-round matchup. It's still considered in that, you know, above 7, and Miami right now is playing with their hair on fire, and that's what you saw yesterday. I mean, Wake Forest is not a great team, but Miami wasn't great either. But you're seeing a team, Miami, who figures, I got nothing to lose. I'm probably heading to the NIT anyway. So, you know, Vatek is one that's playing for that maybe, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 seed. That's at stake for them. So if Vatek blows them out in the first half, good chance they'll take their foot off the pedal. But, you know, Miami, keep an eye on them because they have absolutely 0 to lose. This is their championship. So when they get to the next round, all of that goes out the window because then you're looking at, you know, if they happen to advance and actually win out, I just need them to cover. I don't care if they win or they don't win. But those are some of the games that you should be looking at here today and tomorrow. First round matchups, be able to give yourself a chance to profit. Big East also is going to be very interesting, I think. Villanova, Marquette, Seton Hall, Georgetown, Butler. You've got a lot of these teams here in some of these conferences where the whole year, I won, you won. I won, you won. I won by 2. And that's another thing, too, that we spend a lot of time looking at during this week, Dane, is that don't necessarily look at win-loss records. What you should be spending your time on is point differential. How many, because the best thing about conference championships right now is that these guys have played a lot of the same opponents. So when you look at the data, it doesn't matter who won or lost necessarily, but how many points did you win by? Or how many points did you lose by? What is the point differential between Villanova and Marquette and for the rest of the guys? So what the Sharps do is they spend more time trying to figure out with common opponents, what's the point differential between those wins and losses over there? Because you might have won the game, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it was a blowout. There's a big difference between having won by 18 points on average as opposed to 3 points. You know, so if you're only winning all your games and you've got 17 wins this year, but you know what? Your point differential at 17 wins is 4 or less, then the team that probably won 9 games, yeah, they probably were a basket here or there away from also winning 15, 16, right. 17 games. So win losses aren't the end all be all. Point differential will tell you who's closer to what more than wins and losses will.
I like that, especially because, remember, in the investment world, in the sports investment world, you not necessarily have to pick the winner, right? Especially if you get one of those teams that have a lot of, like, close or tough luck losses, make-miss league kind of thing, and then all of a sudden you get an opportunity to get 4.5 points for them, something like that, and, you know, they're a team that loses by a bucket here or there. I'll cover and take it all day. In the Big East, listen, I think Villanova's vulnerable. And I'm going to ride with my St. John's. You know, I like the Johnnies, you know, on any given day. They are in that kind of play-in round because this is – the Big East has 10 teams in it. You know what I mean? So I think you got, like, 7 versus 10 and 8 versus 9 just to, like, as that first round, the play-in games kind of with the Big East. And St. John's is, in fact, playing today. I got to go with my Johnnies. They're getting, I believe, they're getting 6 points against DePaul today. And, you know, I want Mullen and the Johnnies.
Yeah, and all the Big East teams have played a full home and home round robin this year. So you're going to have some really good head-to-head numbers. You're going to have a lot of data that will help you kind of sift through. But that big one to me is always, okay, Villanova, what was your average margin of victory here? You know, how were you blowing people out in this conference? Were you not? And the numbers tell me Villanova's average margin of victory in the Big East this year was 6. So from all their victories, from all those games that they played, their average margin of victory was 6. When you look at Seton Hall, their average margin of victory, 1. Creighton, 1. Georgetown, 1. St. John's, 1.5. So this year in the Big East, these teams, their average margin of victories, they weren't blowing each other out. Every one of these games was absolutely close and could have gone either way. So that tells you a lot about the Big East and the quality of competition head-to-head. You know, it wasn't Villanova, the biggest one. They averaged
records.
6 points. Yeah, it's crazy.
Look at the
it's
conference
absolutely
records.
Crazy.
You got four teams that went 9-9 in the conference. St. John's one below at 8-10. They clearly, guys, this is clearly close competition. These teams are beating each other up. You got Villanova, Marquette. But then you got 5, like the difference between the 3 seed and the 7 seed is 1 game. So this is a tight conference. So give me the points in a lot of these games.
Yep, that's why don't spend so much time today concentrating. Well, this team won 17 games. This team only won 9, so they've got to be better. Don't be looking at records. Look at the average margin of victory for these teams this year in the conference. You'll have a much better idea how close these teams are. Tonight, NBA also looking Nets at Thunder. OKC laying 7.5 here. Total is 229. I do believe OKC is the suspension for Russell Westbrook. Is that happening tonight? I do believe he was. He suspended a game or just fined?
I'm not sure.
He was just fined. That's right. No, Serge Ibaka was.
They appeal anyway. Right. Yeah, it was Ibaka that got suspended for the fight.
That's right. The total is 229. We're definitely Brooklyn on a smackdown a couple of nights ago against Detroit. Took care of business there, and they are taking on the Thunder here on the road. The over is 229, and the over between these two teams in the last 6 times they've met is 5-1. There are going to be a whole lot of points scored tonight between Brooklyn and Oklahoma City. Take the under. And you're going with who? No, you're going with Q's and Nova today? Who are you going with?
Yeah, you know I like the Q's. I gotta get my Q's back in the mix, and then they get another chance at Duke if they go ahead and win tonight. Joe, Warriors Rockets tonight in the association. Yes. Also, the Rockets are hot as hell, and people are worried about the Warriors maybe having chinks in the armor. I am very interested, and this game in Houston, I think we're gonna be talking about that a little bit tomorrow morning as well.
Want to thank Tom Glavin very much for stopping by. Great stuff there. Gabe Morenci is on his way in the morning after. We'll have more plays, more breakdowns, all that good stuff. Come back and join us tomorrow morning. We'll help you make it rain each and every Monday through Friday, 6A to 9A. Have a great day, guys. Thanks so much for making us a part of it.
It's college basketball season, and the Monmouth Park Sportsbook by William Hill is your best bet to watch and wager on all the games leading up to the big tournament. Watch every minute of action on our 75-foot HD video wall. Wager on props, parlays, over-unders, and much more. Go to MonmouthPark.com for news updates and handicapping. Excludes New Jersey college teams and college events taking place in New Jersey. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
The Fantasy Sports Network is hitting you from all angles with the best fantasy sports and betting analysis. You can catch the latest programming on so many platforms, there's no way you'll miss out on any of the award-winning programming we pump out every single day. You can listen through the FNTSY radio app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Download our podcast through iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Audioboom, and you can watch select programming on the FNTSY YouTube channel. The Fantasy Sports Network, your only source for fantasy sports and wagering anytime and anywhere.
Are you, or someone you love, one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? There is no known cure, but you have the power to help change that by participating in a clinical trial. The Michael J. Fox Foundation will help get you started. Visit michaeljfox.org/participant pack to download the new Parkinson's Trial Participant Pack. It's free and available right now. That's michaeljfox.org/participant pack. Visit today.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
You're listening to the best of Make It Rain on the Fantasy Sports Network.
I'm gonna make it rain.
Barr slept on it and decided he was better than the Jets and that he wanted to stay in Minnesota. Either here or there, now all of a sudden the Jets had more money to offer Le'Veon Bell. But what we did learn yesterday with the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes is that, A, Baltimore was never in it. It was a nice story because Vegas put him up there at some ridiculous odds that everyone thought it would be a great fit. And, you know, they could go after Pittsburgh. But the truth is, Baltimore was never in it. And really, not a whole lot of teams were in it. And the reason it took Le'Veon so long to make that decision is right up until 12:32 when he posted it on his Twitter page last night going that I'm back, baby. That's it. I'm back in the green. That was at 12:32. Right up until just before that, they were his agent was on the phone with other teams hoping that somebody else would come to the table with an offer. But the reality is the market wasn't there for Le'Veon Bell to get more than what the Jets were offering. So it really only was the Jets that were really in contention, willing to offer the kind of guaranteed $35 million, $50 million deal over 4 years. But also we're getting the wrong narrative there, Dane, because people are bashing Le'Veon saying you got more money with the Steelers. They offered you a $70 million deal. What the hell? You sat out a year. You left money on the table. Yes, he left money out on the table. But to Le'Veon Bell, it was never about the amount of money. It was about the guarantee, because that $70 yep. million dollar deal that everyone keeps propping up here this morning from the Steelers, it only came with $17 million of guaranteed money. And he's That's like, right. I'm not going to go out there and put another 400 carries on my body. I'm not going to go. I want the assurances that I'm guaranteed this money no matter what, because he doesn't want to be Earl Thomas, right? That was the whole point of all of this. It wasn't about get the most money. He wanted guaranteed money. He wanted the security that knowing if I fall out and, you know, when I break my ankle in the first game or break my leg, that I am covered. And that's not what the Steelers gave him. It's what the Jets gave him. So did he lose a little money? Yes, he lost money. But you know what? It was his friggin' money to lose to begin with. And for you to say otherwise, for fans to be like, what are you doing? Oh, my God, he could have stayed with the Steelers. Nobody wants to stay with the Steelers. If you guys haven't figured that out right now, the star players want to get the hell out of Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh has this nasty habit of using you, abusing you, and when it comes time to pay you, not really paying you probably what other teams would be willing to do. And that was what Le'Veon Bell, that was the button he pushed, and it worked out for Le'Veon Bell in the end, and he got what he wanted. More guaranteed money than anybody else was willing to give him, including the Pittsburgh Steelers.